This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. Mubarakan alayhi. Kama yuhibbu Rabbuna wa yarda. Jalla jalaluhu wa amma nawaluhu. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض وقال تعالى ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. So, my dear respected friends, on this Friday night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathers us here in this masjid. There could be so many other things you could be doing on a Friday night. But the fact that we have decided to dedicate our next hour or so in this masjid, then we will say that this in itself is a reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Ibn Ata'illah al-Iskandari, he says that don't ask Allah for a reward of a good deed that you do, because it's already a reward that He has given you the ability to do so in the first place. There are so many other places, other people that could have been here, but they're not here. You don't have to be here, but it's something in your heart, inshallah, that's brought you together. There's a level of tawfiq and a direction from Allah, a divine enablement that has brought us here. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, and we ask Him that Allah give us even greater mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that if the people of the locality, if the people of the inhabitation, if the people of the city, if the people of that area were to believe and then have God-fearingness, have taqwa, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their everyday dealings, in their relationship, then we would open up for them. We would let flow, open up and release barakatin, blessings. Barakat, plural of barakah, blessings from the heavens and the earth. Those blessings would come upon them. They just have to believe and they have to be God-fearing. Just belief enough would not provide this, but God-fearingness. The more taqwa there is, the more barakah and blessing there is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, in Surah At-Talaq, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ, whoever fears Allah, this taqwa aspect. Now, he doesn't mention iman here because that's assumed. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will open up a way for him. In whatever they need, Allah will open up a way for him. And then He will give him sustenance from where he would never have thought so, that it would come. That's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will provide sometimes. And I can tell you this, that I don't even have much taqwa, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. And sometimes, subhanAllah, He provides from where you would never expect it to have come in the first place. I'm sure each one of us can relate to something like this. But if somebody had solid taqwa, then this would happen even more. There's a narration that Imam Ahmad and Imam Darimi, they relate. From Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that somebody came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, ayyun nasi khair, which of people are best? Who's the most excellent person? These kind of questions would be asked to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in numerous different ways, different answers the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give based on the circumstance. And they all have a meaning because all of these contribute to what a good person is. So in this case, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the excellent person, the most beautiful person is the one, man tala umruhu wa hasuna amalu, the one who has a long life, but then he's able to do good deeds during that life. So it's not a long life on sin. It's not a long life on redundancy. It's not a long line in just miserable pursuance of the world, where you neither get the world and a person stays miserable. And it's not just about obsessing with certain worldly aspects and the glamour and the beauty of the world, but rather it is something that a person enjoys the world, but his focus is the hereafter. This is the thing which Shaitan confuses and creates a doubt about. He confounds in the minds of people that if you do become religious, then you won't be able to enjoy yourself. As though religious people don't enjoy themselves. It's just there's another level of enjoyment. It all comes from the heart. Enjoyment is something that you feel good about in the heart. Your heart is elated. Now, if it's haram things that cause a person, give them a certain amount of pleasure for a short amount of time, then people think that if I don't do that, I won't get any pleasure because they're used to that type of pleasure. But those types of pleasure are short-lived. Subhanallah, if you just look at and read about the lives of some of these great celebrities as such, the music, pop stars and so on, it's miserable. It's miserable. I mean, I don't even want to get into detail about that, but I was just something I came across about this really famous singer called Lady Gaga, who's got nothing but Hollywood made her, basically. You know, the industry makes her. And she's been going through turmoil about hearing the devil, seeing darkness, just absolute misery. But she doesn't know where to turn. But her fans think this is the greatest thing that's ever come up in the world. But only she knows what kind of misery. There's others that have died of wine, drugs, overdose. They don't know where to go. They think this is pleasure. But eventually it's not pleasure. It's only apparent pleasure and it wears off. So it just depends on what your pleasure is. And I guarantee you the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have their own level of pleasure, which is more enduring. But anyway, the best person, according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this case, is the one who has a long life and good deeds during that long life. Then the person asked, okay, then who's the worst of people? فَأَيُّ النَّاسِ شَرٌ. Who is the worst of people? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَنْ طَالَ عُمْرُهُ وَسَاءَ عَمَلُهُ. He's the one who's got a long life, but then he's got bad deeds during that long life. So what he's doing is that he's racking up the sins. Now what's very interesting, if you look at it this way, is that sins are very pleasurable. That's why we do them. Otherwise, who would do a boring sin? Right? Sins give you pleasure. That's why we do them. That's why we feel like doing them. Now, have you noticed that when we commit a sin, we make that mistake, it feels very great when we're doing it. But as soon as it's done, then it dissipates and it's gone. Then you have to do it all over again. Then you feel miserable. Now, the pleasure of it has gone. The sin remains. Whereas in good deeds, it's a bit difficult to do them in the first place. To come for prayer, to wake up for Fajr. These are some examples. Once you've done it, now the hardship's gone. But you've just got the reward which will endure. So in a sin, the pleasure dissipates and the sin remains. In good deeds, the hardship dissipates, but the rewards remain. And it provides this kind of barakah. So what is barakah? What is blessing? If the Prophet ﷺ said you've got a long life with good deeds, it means you're full of barakah. So what is barakah and what is blessing? Barakah and blessing, this is a term we throw around and we use, right? We use a lot, you know, in whatever languages that we have as Muslims, whether that be Urdu or Persian or Pashto or Arabic, Gujarati, whatever it may be, we use the barakah. The word is barakah, we use it. What exactly is barakah though? Generally, if I'm to ask somebody, who would like to give me their understanding of barakah? If you don't volunteer, I'm going to have to pick somebody out anyway. So, okay, that's one manifestation of it. That would be one man. You put in less and you get a lot out of it. That's one manifestation of barakah, definitely. You feel a fulfillment. That's another manifestation. So very hard to say this is barakah because it's not a tangible product. It's not a commodity that it can be, that you can present in a plate to somebody. Here, this is barakah. It's generally done through something. I'll tell you what the way the ulama have explained it, which then gives us an understanding, which what you've explained is a manifestation of it. Al-barakah hiya thubutul khayr al-ilahi fi shay. Barakah is that there's a goodness, a divine goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is found present in something. Which, فَإِنَّهَا إِذَا حَلَّتْ فِي قَلِيلٍ كَثَّرَتْهُ. If it alights into something which is less, it will increase it. That's one manifestation of it. And وَإِذَا حَلَّتْ فِي كَثِيرٍ نَفَعَ. And if it is found, if Allah places it in something that is already abundant, then it will provide you blessing. It will provide you greater benefit. You go into a restaurant. You do a good deal. Maybe an estate, real estate deal. And you feel really fulfilled with it. And Allah gives you something great out of it. You do another one. And you don't get anything out of it. And you end, you feel it's a loss. It's a bad deal. You go and eat something, or you have purchased something, and it just keeps lasting for a long time. And it works for a very long time. That means you got barakah in it. You know, you have a wallet full of money, right? In the good old days when you use cash. There are some countries around Europe where 95% of people don't use cash anymore, like Sweden. It's all electronic, right? In England, we still use cash quite a bit. You go to Oxford Street or Green Street or Southall the Broadway for a wedding shopping. And you're there buying, and you're pulling out. You've taken maybe £500. And it's wedding shopping. Today, £500 wedding shopping. Khalas, that's one dress if you're lucky. Right? So if you're buying some other small things and you start spending, you buy this thing, you buy that thing, you give. And you're not counting. You're just giving. At the end, you've got these huge bags with you. And you think, wow, mashallah, I've got all of this. How much money have I got left? And then you count it, and now you've only got £35 left. Now you'll only have £35 left. Had you not counted that, and Allah wanted to give you barakah, that would have been extended. Because Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was given a bag of dates, which he kept with himself and kept eating from them without looking. And he ate from them for a very long time. One day he decided, hey, let me check what's in here. And when he counted, it was, 7 dates or whatever it was, and that's all there was left afterwards. Allah works behind the veil. Generally, you're not going to see 7 dates and then they suddenly multiply to 100. You're not going to see that, right? Or that you take another one, just going to appear. It works behind the veil because the world is a predictable world that He wants us in, but He works behind the veil to provide us these things. This is what you call barakah and blessing in something. That when Allah puts something in there, then everything will go well. One of the biggest places and one of the most important areas where we need barakah is in a marriage. You got two strangers sometimes coming together, two different individuals, each with their own humanity, their own perspective, their own feelings, emotions. If there's barakah in that, Allahu Akbar. It works wonderfully well. And that's why the dua we give to a couple is what? Barakallahu lak. وَبَارَكَ عَلَيْكَ وَجَمَعْ بَيْنَكُمَا فِي خَيْرٍ وَعَلَى خَيْرٍ. That may Allah bless you. May Allah shower His blessings upon you. We say that twice. Because they really need a lot of barakah. Because marriage is never a zero-sum game. 1 + 1 = 2. That's not what marriage is generally. It's a lot more than that. It's not an accurate science. So, how do we gain this barakah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you do shukr and you are thankful, I'm going to give you more. So there's only incentive in thanking Allah. So thanking Allah is one way of gaining barakah and blessing in something. To increase that thing is to thank Allah. And believe me, the whole excuse of thanking Allah is that we then remember Allah, that He is really in control and He's in charge. That takes away the arrogance from ourselves. So if we've achieved something because we've got a degree from this university or that university, or because our father was very, very wealthy our parents were very wealthy, we had a very wealthy uncle, and somebody gave us some, and he left a big inheritance for us. At the end of the day, it's only because Allah put us in that family, otherwise we had no choice of being in that particular family. So all of it eventually always goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah wants us just to remember that, and just do shukr. So there's the ulama have mentioned, based on the Quran Sunnah, a number of ways to gain barakah in our life. What better than to go to the Quran to learn this from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the verse I read right in the beginning, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If the people of the area, whichever area that may be, the villages, the suburbs, the cities, whatever that may be, were they to believe and to have taqwa, which means to have that fear of Allah in their dealings, in their interactions, that's taqwa. To fear Allah in what they do, in how they buy and sell, in how they live, in how they speak to one another, in their private life, in their life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether prayer, fasting, and so on. This is taqwa. It's a very, very, very general term, a very comprehensive term that includes all of these things. It's not just about dressing in a particular way. It's not just about praying. But it's about everything. A man of taqwa is a man that is going to be recognized and respected because of the softness of the heart that taqwa will bring, because of the composure and control that this person will have, because of the patience that they'll be able to exercise, because of the gratitude that that person will feel in their hearts. You'll be able to see it. The generosity that person will be able to have, the preference that that person will give to somebody else because of his taqwa. These are all manifestations of taqwa, the ithar. The person who controls himself and doesn't get angry. The person who doesn't harbor enmity in his heart. These are all manifestations of taqwa and God-fearingness, because you do this for Allah. Because we know that Allah is greater than we can ever be. And He has more control over us than we can have over anybody else. So we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says that if they do taqwa, if they have taqwa, then we will open up. We will release the barakat and the blessing from the heavens and the earth. It's all for them. That's what this world is for. Who else did Allah make it for? Now you may think that there's a lot of people who don't even believe and they have a lot of barakah. Seemingly that's what you think is barakah. Barakah is not material possessions. It's what that possession gives you and allows you to do in a form of self-fulfillment with a projection to the hereafter. If that goodness that you feel you have and the riches and the wealth that you think you possess is only good for this world, then it's not very long living, is it? It's not very far reaching. Because for a believer, the real life is of the hereafter. So everything we do here needs to have some kind of effect, a positive effect on that life. So it's not to say that you need to suffer in this life, but it's about whatever you do needs to be adapted in such a way that it has a positive outcome for the next life as well, while you enjoy it in the world. And those people who have the knowledge and understanding from Allah, they're the ones who'll be able to do this. You think the Prophet ﷺ was bored in his life? You think Umar ﷺ did not enjoy his life? You think Abu Bakr as-Siddiq ﷺ was a miserable person? You think Uthman ﷺ, with the millions that he had, you think he didn't enjoy the world? Abdurrahman ibn Auf, again another billionaire, who had these huge amounts of wealth, he had all of that, and he becomes Ashara Mubashara, he becomes one of the 10 given the glad tidings of paradise. Wow. Subhanallah. One of the righteous people was asked, قِيلَ لِأَحَدِ الصَّالِحِينَ إِنَّ الْأَسْعَارِ قَدْ ارْتَفَعَتْ. The prices are, things are becoming expensive, right? You know, like today you say, like everything's going up. We don't know what's going to happen when the borders are separated, when the EU, when we're out of the EU, and duties and things like that. Prices are expensive, everything's going up. Subhanallah. So somebody said that to one of the righteous people, person who's got understanding and profound insight. about Allah's working in this world. So he said, أنزلوها بالتقوى. If you have taqwa, he says, lower the prices by having taqwa. By having taqwa and God-fearingness in your general life, on a mass scale, because we need to encourage each other, you will see that all of these things will become easier. The barakat will be blessing, will be there. That's why it says that after Isa, I don't want this to sound mythical. We live in a real world, and we need to understand this and put this in perspective. So it says that when Isa alayhi salam will descend on the earth at the time that is his appointed time, after that, it's essentially the whole story is that eventually everybody will become a believer. Because he will clarify even to the Christians as to what the true belief is. Everybody, and then those who will remain his enemies, then he will fight against them. And then eventually the Dajjal will be killed. It's a long story. But basically afterwards it mentions that everybody will become a believer. And then he says that when everybody, what the hadith mentions is that when everybody becomes a believer, there's no evil left. For a short amount of time, it will remain like that. For some years, it will remain like that until it starts to deteriorate again. But there will be this glorious period. And he says there will be so much barakah, so much blessing, that things will be in abundance. Things will be in abundance. We've never experienced that, but I just want to mention that as just the what taqwa can do. That's like that's a full-fledged taqwa for everybody. We're going to try to do just as much as possible, at least in our own homes. And then if each one of us can focus on our own homes, then the community benefits from that. Number two, so the first one to bring about barakah and blessing is taqwa. The second one is recitation of the Qur'an. Reciting the Qur'an brings about blessing because it's the word of Allah. It's the divine word of Allah. When you read those words, it's not just anybody's word. You know when you read the words of a poet, how influenced you get? When when some of Iqbal's, for those who understand Urdu, when some of Iqbal is quoted, people start, jumne lagte wo. Gile jafaye wafa numa jo haram ko ahle haram se hai. Kisi but kade me ja ke bayan kare to sanam bhi kahe hari hari. Right? And people start getting excited. I don't know too many poems, but people get excited. It has an effect. The Quran is the word of Allah, our creator. Tanzeelum min Rabbil Alameen. It's the revealed words. It's the revealed word from the Lord of the worlds. It has a profound effect. But again, let's look at the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarak. This is a book that we have revealed to you. It is a blessed book. It's mubarak. It's blessed. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. But why have we revealed this book to you? So that people will reflect over its verses. And those people with intellect, with true intellect, will gain an understanding. So the Quran is not just to be read as most of us Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi people do. We just read the Quran for 60 years sometimes and don't even know what Surah Al-Fatiha means, which is really sad. It's great that we read a lot of Quran, alhamdulillah. Don't get me wrong. Don't stop reading the Quran. But let's get a notch higher, at least understand what we're reading. Take a tafsir, take a translation. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِ كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكًا. This is a book that we have sent down to you. It is blessed, so that people will ponder over its verses. And I guarantee you that anybody who ponders the Quran with respect, with honor, while feeling the sense of awe as to whose words these are, and looking for benefit and blessing, they will be blessed. They will learn new things. Their life, their heart will be strengthened. Their misery will be removed. Their depression will be alleviated. Because the Quran is a shifa. It's shifa. Number three, dua. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in itself is another source of barakah and blessing. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made specific du'as for barakah. Like in the marriage, when somebody gets married, you say, Barakallahu lak, wa baraka alayk, wa jama'a baynakuma fi khayr. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us. We ask Allah for blessing. Number four, which is really strange, عدم الشح في أخذ المال, not to be greedy in acquiring wealth. It's like for us, barakah means having abundant. But to gain barakah, don't be greedy in acquiring it. Acquiring wealth. Then you get barakah. Like, how do you understand that? Do you understand? It's like saying, don't do the thing that... It's because the definition that we have of barakah, which is to have just lots, is wrong. That's why our whole understanding of it goes wrong. Essentially, there's a hadith related by Imam Muslim where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Hakim, he said, "Ya Hakim, inna hadha al-mal khadiratun hulwatun." This wealth, these commodities that you see outside, these beautiful cars in today's life, these beautiful cars and these estates and buildings and everything else, these suits and phones and everything else, this is khadiratun hulwatun. It's very green and sweet. Essentially, because you had the Ansar who were a farmer community in a sense. The Muhajirin, those who come from Makkah, they were traders because they didn't have land. They were not Jagirdar, right? The Chaudhrees were the Ansar in a sense. They had all the land, right? Because that Medina Munawwara was their abode. So the Prophet ﷺ is giving us an example that this wealth that you see is just like this nice green and fresh and sweet crops. That's if you're a farmer and you get some good crops, subhanallah, that's your life is made, subhanallah. So he said that this wealth is just like that. خَضِرَةٌ حُلْوَةٌ فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ بِسَخَاوَةِ نَفْسٍ. Whoever takes it, but with a generous heart, in a generous state, thinking that I'm taking this to spend on others, I'm taking this not to withhold for myself. بُورِكَ لَهُ فِيهِ. He will be given blessing in it. If a person takes it, he will be given a blessing in it based on his intention. Ajib. There's another hadith which says that whoever take, you know, when you want to borrow money from someone, what does the Prophet ﷺ say about that? He said, if you have to borrow from someone, whoever takes somebody else's wealth to borrow with an intention to pay back, Allah will help him pay back. But if you take from somebody else with an intention to swindle them and deceive them and not give it back to them or make them really cry for their money, then أَتْلَفَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah will cause that to be destroyed for you. And hence what that means is that you will not be given barakah, and what you do with that wealth will not go far. It'll be destroyed. You'll be miserable with that. Now you've messed yourself up and you've messed this other person up. But if you have a good intention with the wealth to pay it back, you'll be given barakah and blessing in it. So in this hadith though, same thing, whoever takes wealth with a good open-hearted intention, then he will be given barakah and blessing in it. وَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ بِإِشْرَافِ نَفْسٍ. But whoever takes it with a greed and avarice of the heart, then لَمْ يُبَارَكْ لَهُ فِيهِ, then he will not be blessed in this. كَالَّذِي يَأْكُلْ وَلَا يَشْبَعْ. What a beautiful explanation. The Prophet ﷺ said, then the person will be like the person who's eating, 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 but he's not getting satisfied. Because you know, we have a mechanism, a psychological mechanism, that when you eat a certain amount, there are signals from the stomach to the brain that you're full now and thus you don't want to eat. But I mean, our hospitality culture is that they throw like extra in your plate, which is very wrong. We have these extreme cultures, right? We have, mashallah, our Indo-Pak culture, which, mashallah, tries to stuff the food down your throat. And then we have the culture, which is our culture of the West in general. Have some. I've had enough. Okay, fine. But this guy, he's used to people forcing him. So he says, I don't want, you know, I'm done. So the guy goes, okay, fine, if you're done, okay, take it away. And this guy's like, oh no, man. You're the Pakistani log nahi hai, right? You know? So what we need to do is, you know, it's really bad to put things in somebody's plate. People are a bit more health conscious these days. You have to realize that. people are more health conscious. They do count calories, right? But you say, no, it's just for today's, and then you start shoving in their plate. That's wrong. Yes, if you know that they really want something, you feel like it, then maybe do that. But otherwise, don't do that. It's dhulm, it's oppression, right? It's oppression to stuff your stomach and to stuff somebody else's stomach as well. Yes, feed them well. You know what I think we should do? To be honest, what we need to do is have good food, excellent food, right? Good quality food, small amount, but it's nice and it's excellent. There's no point having huge amounts of cheap food and then telling people eat. So anyway, these are just side thoughts. So it's about taking wealth. If a person takes it with just this greed, then it's like the person is going to continue to eat and he's not going to get satisfied. Then what happens? The stomach gets problems. It leads to diseases. Upset stomach, person can't sleep properly. Then he has to start taking Sonf and Gaviscon and all these other things. He has to go and take a walk when he's not used to taking walks. Subhanallah. Take the same thing. When you have wealth, it'll just be so greed that you're getting wealth. You have wealth, but you're not satisfied. It's not giving you any pleasure. It's giving you misery. You got a lot of wealth, but you got problems in the business. Suddenly you got a tax bill. Inquiry. Allah prevent. Allah protect from these kind of things. Suddenly you've got, somebody broke in. Somebody did a massive, credit card fraud. And then, you might get your money back, but after 6 months, you have to work behind it. It takes away time from everything else. This means there's no barakah. You're not enjoying your food. Something's come to upset it. Number five is something more practical. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. This is a narration of Imam Ahmad. From Imam Ahmad, Prophet's dua was that, O Allah, give blessing to my ummah in their mornings. And that is why Sakhar al-Ghamidi, he would send his business people out in the morning and he will be given blessing. There's a blessing in the morning. That's why there's actually another narration which mentions that those who sleep at sunrise, after Fajr, sunrise time, you can sleep after that if you want to. Because in England, our sunrise is sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning, so you don't expect to stay awake. But those who sleep around that time, they lose blessing, they lose barakah. They lose barakah. And those who get up early to do their business, not all night, but get up early to do their business, they get barakah and blessing in that. And believe me, there's a lot of blessing in the daytime. And this is actually scientific in a sense that if you sleep early, any sleep you get before 12 o'clock is much more potent than any sleep you get after 12 o'clock, midnight. So 1 hour of sleep is probably worth about 2 hours of sleep after 12 o'clock. It's very interesting. This is the earlier you sleep around 10 o'clock, you will feel refreshed at 4 o'clock in the morning if you woke up from 10 to 4. That's probably enough. Or 10 to 5. It's probably enough. And there's a lot of people out there, non-Muslims, the very efficient people, they get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do exercise before they start their work. There's a lot of people who do that. They don't waste time watching TV all night. That's for third class people. If you see the elite, they don't waste time doing that kind of stuff. They know what they're doing. They're not where they are for no reason. So working early in the morning is, as the Prophet ﷺ said, the Prophet ﷺ made dua for that. Number six is following the sunnah in whatever activities we have, in whatever we do in our life, to follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ was human par excellence. He was the most moderate and perfect human being. He said things that seemed to be so insignificant. He said, don't sit half in a shade and half out of the shade. So half in the sun and half in a shade. It's just unbalanced. He said, if you've only got one slipper, don't walk in one slipper. It's unbalanced. Either take both of them off or get two slippers. He said things like this. It's not just so-called overtly religious things that he spoke about. He talked about practical things. Don't drink water that has been
heated by the sun because of certain ultraviolet light or x-ray, whatever, you know, rays or something like that, which can cause certain illnesses and problems. There's certain very practical things that the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, at night time, make sure you extinguish all of your lamps, because otherwise it's possible that an ant, a rodent or whatever could just tip something over and you could end up with a fire. Right? Okay, that we don't have these open kind of lamps these days. Cover your food at night. Don't leave anything uncovered. Because it says that this is when the illnesses and diseases descend at night time. Right? Numerous things like that. So in this case, to follow the sunnah in every matter. For example, the Prophet ﷺ said, lick your fingers after you eat. Right? Lick your fingers after you eat. Does Abdul Rahman do that? Yeah? MashaAllah. What about Habibur Rahman? Yeah? And what was your name again? Ihsan. Do you do that as well? Well, even if you don't, you can start doing it from today. When you eat and then after, make sure you wash your hands before though. You don't want to be licking your hands if you haven't washed your hands. That's kind of gross. So you wash your hands first, then you eat, and then you lick your hands, you know, to, you know, when you're eating rice or something. So it's just to clean it off, so you don't waste anything. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, lick your fingers, because he said, innakum la tadruna fi ayyi ta'amikum al-barakah. You don't know in which part or particle of your food is the blessing. It's in one place. You don't know where that is. So don't waste it, because you may be throwing the barakah part out. You know, sometimes, I remember once I was with one family, they'd invited me. And you know, some cultures, the way they eat rice is a very interesting way. They eat with their fists. So they have this huge amount of rice, and then they take with their fist, like they it's like they're shoveling it up with their fist, and they kind of make a ball with it, and then they put it in their mouth. Now, literally, when they were eating, father and son and myself, we were all eating together from this big tray, like a big, big dish. And in front of them, they had dropped so much to fill a plate up. So I told him, I said, maybe you should keep plates in front of you, like small plates, so that whatever falls, it falls into that plate. Because the rest of it is just kind of taken and it's on the floor. The Prophet said, don't do that. Barakah is in conservation. You think you can waste things and Allah's going to give you more? No, because these are limited resources of the world. People are dying for a few rice grains. People would be dying for that in other places. I remember when I was studying in South Africa and we went to eat in a mall, a semi-mall or something. We bought our chicken, whatever. I was a student, I didn't buy much. You know, we were careful about how much we bought. And I took it and I finished eating, my friend finished eating. And then after that, we went and put the tubs by the packaging by the bin. And somebody then comes up and he says, now I don't understand why he said this, because then somebody immediately came along and opened it up to see if there was any flesh left on that chicken, that leg or whatever it was. Right? That's what he would do. Anybody who threw somebody in, they would check. So somebody came and said, thanks for leaving him something. That was not our intention. We probably just didn't clean it properly. Do you understand? But that's what made me think, subhanAllah, we take these things for granted. Wasting never helps. That's why there's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is, al-iqtisadu fi nafaqati nisful ma'isha. Moderation in spending is half of your livelihood. We have no control of what comes in, but we know what's come in. We do have control of what goes out. If you're moderate in that, you've solved half of your livelihood problem. Just budget. Don't look at what others are doing. You don't have that kind of ability. Don't look at that. Do what you can do and be moderate. Then the wife doesn't have to go and work. You don't have to force the wife to work. Right? You don't then have to force your older children to go and work. It will be sufficed. They can focus on their education maybe. Yes, we should encourage our children to become responsible. Number 7 is istighfar. To do istighfar. This is the very powerful one. This is very powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala You see, Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, once he's sitting and somebody comes and asks him a question. He was like a counselor, he was like a religious guide, a spiritual guide. People came to him because he was a master of all sciences. Somebody came and said, you know, in our area we've got drought, there's no rain. There's no rain. So he said, Istaghfirullah. You need to do istighfar of Allah. You need to seek forgiveness from Allah. Because when sins are removed, then the blessings begin. Remember, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا. You do istighfar, and then that means the sins are gone. People who have taqwa, they're not going to be engaged in sin. Same thing, the barakat comes, the barakah comes when you have that, when you have taqwa. So he said, istaghfirullah. So the person, okay, goes away. Another person comes, he says, we're poverty stricken. We're in need. He said, istaghfirullah. Same thing, do istighfar. Okay. Third person comes in, and he says, you know, having problem, we can't get any male offspring. We're trying, but we want a son. And I'm sure people know how that feels, because the society is really bad. There's a woman who called me once, she said, please make dua. Please make dua. I can't remember which number child. If I don't have a son this time, my in-laws are gonna, I don't know what they're gonna do to me. Please make dua for me that I get a son. As though it's in her hands. They don't blame the guy, it's like they blame the girl all the time. Bring a son, man, design a son inside you. They're blaming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really, but it's the culture. Culture is just sometimes overcomes the deen, which is sad. Anyway, he said, do istighfar. Istaghfirullah. Then a fourth person comes in, you know, probably over a few occasions this happened. It wasn't like one, two, three. It doesn't have to be like that. It could have been over a few occasions. You know the wells, the water has dried up, our water source. Istaghfirullah. Now this person who's sitting with him, one of his students or somebody, he says, Shaykh, what's going on? Everybody, you're giving the same medicine? Istaghfirullah, paracetamol, paracetamol, paracetamol. You know, like doctors, you go to them, what do they give you? Paracetamol or cream E45? Just depends, you know, if it's an internal problem or an external problem, right? So, this is not paracetamol. This is some serious stuff, istighfar. So when his student asked him that question, he said, look, this is what Allah says in the Quran. Allah says that in Surah Nuh, what's the ayah of Allah? Yes. What is it? قُلْ تُسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Seek forgiveness from your Lord. Then? إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Because your Lord is the most forgiving. You've got a reason to. It's not like you're asking somebody who can't give you forgiveness. Allah reminds you, is the ghaffar, abundantly forgiving. Forgive the greatest or the smallest of sins. And He will forgive you whether you sin over and over and over again. He doesn't tire. That's why He says ghaffar as opposed to just ghafir. So, إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. He will send down rain to you in abundance. Connection here. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And He will extend and assist you with wealth, poverty gone, and children, baneen, sons. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And He will give you, He will allow the lakes to flow for you. Perfect, perfect solutions, perfect prescriptions from the Quran. Where better? These are the means. So let me just repeat the means. Taqwallah. Now, taqwallah, recitation of the Quran with some pondering and reflection. Dua. Not to be greedy and selfish when seeking wealth. Have an open heart about it. And istighna about it. And following the sunnah as much as possible in everything that we do. Starting your work early in the morning, changing your schedule. See, it's changing the schedule which means you'll become a more productive person. All of these things are not just magical things. They are practical things. If you're going to wake up in the morning and do your business, you're going to be tired by 10 o'clock that you're going to want to go to sleep. A lot of people say, I can't sleep at night because we then wake up late in the morning. If you're forced, that the way they say is to change your, the way they say to change your schedule is that wake yourself up somehow or the other early in the morning for a few days, and then you will find that you will want to go to sleep early. And your whole mental clock will change afterwards. The mental clock will then adjust, because everybody has a mental clock, they're used to it. And finally, istighfar. Continue to do istighfar, continue to do istighfar. Let me tell you, finish off. There's a very interesting story. Who's from Mirpur here? Anybody from Mirpur? Because there's a story about Mirpur. So in Gujranwala, in one of the villages of Gujranwala, there was a Hakim sahab. He used to have a surgery in town, in the city. He had a very strange way of working, unusual way, that most of us wouldn't understand. He would go to the city every day to open up his surgery. Before leaving, he would ask his wife from the village, what do you need from the city today? So, kuch mirch masala, you know, some spices, I need some oil, I need this. She would write it on a piece of paper and he would take it with him. When he would get there, he would check the paper, the list, only after getting there. He would look at it and he would then budget. He would say, okay, this costs 20 rupees and this costs 50 rupees. He would then total that up. And then he would make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would say that, oh Allah, I'm only coming here to earn a living for my dependent ones. So when I have earned this living, as soon as you give me this amount, then I will close shop and go back. Nearly every day by about 9:30 to about 10 o'clock, he would see whichever patients would come in. And he would, as soon as he made that amount of money, if it was 500 rupees, 300 rupees, then he would close up and then he would go back. He would do his shopping and he would go back. Every day this was his story. He says, I'm only doing this to fulfill my obligation of living, looking after my dependent ones. One day, he left home as normal and his wife gave him a little piece of paper with the list. So he gets there, opens up his surgery and he looks to start the budget. And there's a few spices and things like that. He budgets them. And then at the end it says, the daughter's jahiz kamal. Meaning his daughter is going to get married. So all of the things that she needs to give to the other side, all the supplies that you have to give in these cultures, unfortunately it's there. And sometimes that could debilitate people in getting their daughters married. It's really strange. In Arab countries, it's about the man having to pay a huge amount of mahar. But in some of our countries, in some areas, like in some areas of India, some areas of Pakistan and Bangladesh, the girl has to cough up. And if a guy has had five daughters, he is going to be miserable because of this culture. So, he looks at that and he writes next to it, he said, "Ye Allah ka kaam hai, Allah jaane." Right? This is, I'm going to have to leave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows best how I'm going to make this. He's used to every day making the few hundred rupees or, you know, few thousand, whatever it is. And this is just a huge amount of difference. Right? And he starts his work and he's seeing patients. He sees a few patients and then suddenly this big car pulls up outside and cars pull up all the time in that area. And so he didn't give it a second look, just normal. And a person comes in. This suited, booted guy comes in and he sits on the bench. So after Hakim Saab finishes off with the current patients, he says to him, he says, if you would like me, if it's something about yourself, then please come next to me on this chair so I can check your pulse, so I can diagnose your problem. Or if you come here to ask for somebody else's medicine, then let me know what the symptoms are, what the problems are, and I'll make your medicine. So the person says, my name is such and such, but it looks like you haven't recognized me. So the Hakim Saab probably looks bewildered. So he says, let me tell you, 15 years ago, I'm from Mirpur, but I'm coming from Lahore, and on my way from Lahore to Mirpur, I pass by this area every time. 15 years ago, as we were passing by this area, we had a puncture. And it was really hot in the late morning. And as my driver was fixing the puncture, I was there standing in the heat. And you saw me. So you came outside and said, come in and sit down. So you made me sit down and you had a small girl with you. And it took a while for the puncture to be fixed. But in that time, your daughter kept telling you, oh, father, father, come on, why are you taking so long? Let's go home. You know, I'm hungry or whatever it is. We need to go home. And you kept telling her, just be patient. Just be patient. Then I thought to myself, 15 years ago when I was sitting there, that I'm sitting here for free. Maybe I should do something. This person is even allaying his daughter, you know, comforting her, and you know, just for my sake. Because, so he said that I decided to tell you my story, that I've been in England for 5 years. Now, this story was sent to me. I don't know who this person is. I'd like to meet him one day if I could, if it is a true story, right? So, I mean, I have no reason to doubt that it's a true story. He said, I've been in England 5 years. We've been trying to have children, but we just can't have children. We've tried everything. We've been had tests done in the, you know, in the hospitals there. We've done everything, but we just cannot have children. So, as I'm saying this, he started getting some portions of medicine ready. He split it up, and then he put it into two separate packages. And then he asked me my name, and I said, my name is so-and-so. So he wrote that. And then he said, look, the problem you have, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can fix that. It doesn't matter who does tests. It doesn't matter who gives you medicine. He didn't tell them, oh, I've got a medicine for you. It's going to cost you this much. He said, it doesn't matter what medicine you take, which Hakim gives you medicine. It's only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to ask Allah because He is the provider. And then he said, look, this one is for you and this one is for your wife. He put the two envelopes into a larger envelope, a larger package, and he gave it to him. So I said, okay, how much is it? He said, no, today's balance is full. Today's business is closed. I said, yeah, what do you mean it's closed? The whole reason I did this is to pay you something, and you're telling me that the business is closed. So there was somebody else who'd come in who was a local, he probably knew. He said, what he means is that every day he comes in the morning, and however much he needs for that day's expenditure, that's how much he works, and then after that he doesn't do anything over that. So he said, this was quite amazing. And then I left. When I got home, I told my wife this story. And she was amazed by the story that this Hakim Saab is such a noble person, such a great human being, that he first hosted you like this, then didn't even take advantage of your situation. Right? Looking at you as a person who's wealthy. There must be some blessing and barakah in this medicine. Let's take it. They started, you know, praying to Allah, whatever it is, and they started taking this medicine. And he says, today, alhamdulillah, I have three children. I have three beautiful daughters. I believe he said daughters. He said, I have three beautiful children. Now what happened is, I have come right now because most of my family is in England. Right? What's new? Right? Most of my family is in England. I've just got one sister who's lost her husband. She's a widower, and she's a widow, and she has a daughter, and she's I think 21 years old or something, and her marriage is on the 21st of this month, and we have come as a family, and we have taken responsibility for her, that she's our sister. She doesn't have any money. We are going to pay the jahaz. We're going to pay everything. We're going to take care of the entire marriage. That's what we had come for. However, what happened just 5 days before, so it's on the 21st, but 5 days before, what happened is that she had gone shopping into the market and felt some headache or something come on. She didn't tell anybody. She developed a fever, but she didn't mention anything in the excitement or whatever the case is. And finally, she fell down in the market after doing a lot of the shopping. They took her to the hospital, but she had a very high fever. They couldn't save her and she passed away. Now, we've done a lot of the purchase and everything, and me and my wife have decided, and it came into our mind that your in this Gujarawala area, and we remember that you have a small daughter. We don't know what her state is, whenever she's going to get married, if it's now or later. If it's now, then we want to sort the whole wedding out. And tell us your address, and we will send all of the saman, all the shopping that we've done for it. Tell us, our truck or whatever it is will come and drop it at your place. And if it's later on, then that's fine, we'll give you the money for it. But if it's now, then we want to do it. And this Hakim Sahib is just looking totally dumbfounded. He just can't believe what's happening here. So he says that this morning I came, and this is generally what I do, that I look at my budget, and this is what my wife had written, and this is what I had written there. I'll tell you exactly what he had written. He says, I think I should say this in Urdu, because who doesn't understand Urdu here, by the way? I'll translate it for you as well. You're halfway, I'll translate it for you. No, so the person tells him, you have no refusal rights here. You're going to take this. I think he's making an imposition on him. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. He said, Muhammad Ali Saab. His name was Muhammad Ali. He said, aap jo kuch keh rahe hai, wo mujhe samajh mein nahi aa raha hai. He's a simple person. Mujhe samajh mein nahi aa raha hai. Mera itna dimaag nahi hai. Maine to aaj subah jab biwi ke haath ki likhi hui chit yahan aakar khol kar dekhi to mirch masale ke baad jab maine ye alfaz padhe, beti ke jehaz ka saman, to aapko maloom hai maine kya likha. Aap khud ye chit zara dekh le. Muhammad Ali Saab, he وہ تو حیرانی رہ گئے محمد علی صاحب بیٹی کے جہیز کے ساتھ سامنے لکھا تھا یہ کام اللہ کا ہے اللہ جانے محمد علی صاحب یقین کریں آج تک کبھی ایسا نہیں ہوا کہ بیوی نے چٹ پر چیز لکھی ہو اور مولا نے اس کا اسی دن بندوبست نہ کر دیا ہو واہ مولا واہ تو عظیم ہے تو کریم ہے He first turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala تو عظیم ہے تو کریم ہے آپ کی بانجی کی وفات کا صدمہ تو ہے لیکن اس کی قدرت یعنی اللہ کی قدرت پر حیران ہوں کہ وہ کس طرح اپنے معجزے دکھاتا ہے Essentially what he said is going to sound boring for the rest of you but for our brothers He said he was dumbstruck. He said, look, I don't even understand what's going on, right? He said, this morning when my wife gave me the list and I came and checked it out and it had jehez ka saman, which means everything you need for a marriage for your daughter, right? I was just, how am I going to do this? So I wrote there, this is for Allah, meaning this is, I'm going to leave this to Allah. Allah knows best how to deal with this. And now you come, he says, I do feel sorrow that your daughter, your niece has died. But I'm just, subhanAllah, he calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Kareem, O Azeem, O Great One, O Benevolent One. And then basically he says this. This is what's important to understand. He says that since I have become mature and discerning and understanding, He says that there is one lesson that I always do, that I have read and that I always follow, which is that in the morning I say, Razik, Razik, Tuhi, Razik. O sustainer, you're the only sustainer. Everything comes from you. And he says, Aur sham ko, shukar, shukar, mola, tera shukar. Thank you, gratitude, it's only thanks to you, O Allah. He's starting his day off with Allah, he's ending his day with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything in between is Mubarak and Barakah. In fact, what the person had said is that I've been trying to catch you for a few days. Every day I've come in the afternoon or evening, your story's closed. So yesterday somebody told me you need to come at 9 o'clock in the morning to catch Hakim Saab, and that's why I'm here today. Now if we could have that kind of barakah and blessing, and you know this is recent times. You know, this is probably last 10, 15, 20 years. And this is not the only story. We don't have the time, but there is stories like this from Maulana Yunus Patel, who was a wonderful person, rahimahullah, he's passed away now, in Durban, South Africa. There are things like this about him as well that I've heard. But it requires a certain level of tawakkul to do this. You can't do this if you don't have reliance in Allah. If you don't have any trust in Allah, how are you going to do it? You're going to think, is He going to give me or not? Is He going to give me? But if your iman is strong and you have the taqwa and you have the tawakkul, then you'll do something like this. May Allah grant us this level of taqwa. That's serious. May Allah grant us. This is not a story of 700 years ago or 1,000 years ago. This is recent time. With everything, England, Pakistan, Punjab, Mirpur, Kashmir, everything involved. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a reality for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding. I'm not saying that that's all we will do as well. But at least He gives us some understanding of having some contentment. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We will make a short dua inshaAllah. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Tabarak ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Allahumma ya hannanu ya mannan. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Oh Allah, we ask You for Your mercy. Oh Allah, we ask You for Your blessing. Oh Allah, we ask You for your mercy and Your generosity. Oh Allah, we are in need of Your generosity. We are in need of Your guidance. Oh Allah, we are in need of Your assistance. O Allah, forgive us for all those sins we have committed in the openness of day, darkness of night. O Allah, those that we commit and we think nobody knows about it, and we think we're successful in it. But O Allah, those sins linger and they affect us. O Allah, we ask You that You make Your obedience beloved in our heart and Your disobedience hated in our heart. O Allah, grant us Your love and the love of those whose love benefits us in Your court. O Allah, grant us a life of purity and of taqwa. O Allah, grant us a life of purity and of taqwa. O Allah, suffice us with what is halal away from what is haram. O Allah, grant us blessing in what You have given us. And O Allah, grant us full reliance and tawakkul in You. O Allah, grant us full reliance and tawakkul in You. O Allah, those who are seated here on this Friday night, O Allah, when they could have been doing so many other things, O Allah, bless us all and don't allow us to return without having been written as people destined for paradise. O Allah, grant us all barakah and blessing and make us of Your awliya. O Allah, make us of those who are close to Your Quran. O Allah, those who remember You and who seek Your forgiveness abundantly. O Allah, make us of those who fear You and who have inculcated Your fear in our hearts and are people of taqwa and of the muttaqeen. O Allah, make us leaders of the muttaqeen. Make us a force for good. Accept us for the service of Your deen. O Allah, remove the difficulties that we may be facing in our lives. Fulfill our permissible needs. O Allah, bless us and our children and our progeny until the day of judgment. O Allah, there are many challenges out there. There are many difficulties out there. O Allah, we ask You for assistance to stand up to these challenges and to be rightly guided in this regard. O Allah, those who've established this masjid and the masajid that we have, O Allah, bless them. O Allah, if they're still with us, then grant them a great life. O Allah, full of iman and taqwa. If they've passed, then O Allah, grant them illumination in their graves and ease of all the stages of the hereafter and Jannatul Firdaus for all of us. And O Allah, for the rest of us, we ask You that You give us the ability to take these efforts even further. And O Allah, to do them in the right way and the correct way. O Allah, we ask You for help, we ask You for assistance, and we ask that You send Your abundant blessings on our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and grant us his company in the hereafter. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifuna wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.